Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Gabriel India Limited's Q3 and 9 months FY22 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rishi Luharuka, CFO of Gabriel India Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning and a very warm welcome to everybody present on the call. I hope all of you and your loved ones are keeping well and are safe in these unprecedented times. Unfortunately, today, Mr. Manoj Kolhatkar, our Managing Director, is not able to join the call owing to some family emergency. But we have with us today Mr. Atul Jaggi, who's our Deputy Managing Director, joining us to give the business perspectives. We also have Nilesh Jain, our Company Secretary, as well as SGA, our Investor Relationship Advisors. We have uploaded our results and investor presentation for the quarter.
Members of the management, are you able to hear us? Ladies and gentlemen, requesting you all to please stay connected while we reconnect the management. Requesting all participants to please stay connected while we have the management reconnected to the conference. Members of the management, you are reconnected. You all may please go ahead.
Hello.
Sir, you may please go ahead.
Sorry, I'll repeat what I said. The country faced third wave of COVID due to emergence of new strain of Omicron from mid-December 2021 onwards. However, we have not faced any material impact of ongoing third wave on our business. All our manufacturing facilities are running smoothly. I hand it over to Atul now to take it forward.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. This is Atul Jaggi. Before we delve into the numbers, let me provide you with an update on how the current environment is shaping up. Constraints are impacting retail sales. Semiconductor availability has indeed improved as compared to the previous quarter, but the situation remains dynamic and
Members of the management, this is the operator. Are you able to hear me?
Yes.
Sir, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but your audio is not clear, sir. We are unable to hear you.
Is it better?
Sir, just allow me a minute while I reconnect you. Requesting all participants to please stay online while we have the management reconnected. Requesting all participants to please stay online. Thank you. I would request all the participants to please stay connected while we have the management reconnected to the conference. Requesting all participants to please stay online while we have the management reconnected to the conference. Thank you. Members of the management, you all are reconnected. You may please go ahead. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for patiently holding the line. We have the management reconnected.
I hope I am audible now.
So yes, you are. You may please proceed.
Yeah, okay. Sorry for this glitch. So I was talking about the current situation with the PVs where the demand is healthy. But the supply chain constraints, primarily on the semiconductors availability, are still impacting the situation. It has definitely improved, but structural improvement is expected only in the next 2 to 3 quarters. In terms of the domestic two-wheelers, the demand is subdued. There are multiple reasons for that. The frequent price increases by the OEMs, weak festive demand, and increasing all-time high fuel prices. I think they are restricting the pace of recovery and consequently driving customers' interest in e-scooters supported by, which is again supported by the subsidies. CV industry volumes grew strongly on a low base of the last year, driven by the government's infra push and pickup in the economic activities. Improving demand in the infrastructure and construction sectors and improving freight availability along with increasing demand for e-commerce and last mile delivery should support CV volumes going forward. Export markets also witnessed a sharp uptake in sales volume. Across the automobile segments, inventory level remained slightly higher than the normal level, except for PVs at the end of the quarter. Demand continues to remain quite robust, both in terms of inquiries and booking for the passenger vehicles. However, availability is an issue now and waiting periods have gone up for the passenger vehicles. Prices of commodities such as aluminium, lead, copper have remained firm and on the higher side, whereas steel and precious metal prices have declined in the last quarter and should ease off the raw material cost pressure on margins in the quarters to come. Many OEMs have undertaken certain price hike to pass on to the cost increase to the customers. Commodity prices are expected to soften from quarter 4 FY22 onwards. So I hand it over to Rishi now.
So I'll now moving on to the numbers. Quarter 3 was yet another quarter with strong performance. This was on back of the new programs, as we mentioned in the last quarter, along with many PV players introducing new models and increasing demand on the momentum side on the CV side. We are delighted to share top line growth of 13% YOY and 3% quarter on quarter growth to 6061 million in third quarter of FY22. Our company has reported a 12% YOY growth in EBITDA in third quarter to 420 million. Margins stood at 6.9%. Margins were impacted due to increased raw material prices. This challenge has been faced by companies across many industries and we are no exception to this. There has been significant increase in raw material prices over the last few quarters. Inflationary trend in raw material prices have been monitored and our company has been practicing the Core 90 as we've been discussing for a couple of quarters now. I've been practicing Core 90 cost optimization and productivity improvement program in order to offset part of this price increase. Our company has been able to pass through a large part of this input cost increase. However, part of it will happen in the fourth quarter of FY22. Our company has reported a PAT growth of 4% YOY and 3% quarter on quarter to rupees 257 million in third quarter of FY22. With this, I come to the end of the opening remarks. I now request the moderator to begin the question-answer session.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question-answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nikhil from Simple. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning and congrats on good set of numbers. Hope I am audible. Hello.
Yes, you are, sir. You may please proceed.
Okay. Yeah. Two, three questions, sir. One is on the two-wheeler side, if we consider our revenue and the breakup, it seems like we've grown while the whole industry has seen a degrowth. So if you can just share, is it like the better mix from the EV has supported us in a better number in the two-wheeler side, or what has played out there? If you can just help us understand. Hello.
Requesting all the participants to please stay online while we have the management reconnected to the conference. Mr. Nikhil, requesting you to please stay online. We are having the management reconnected to the call. Requesting all participants to please stay online while we have the management reconnected to the conference. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for patiently holding the line. We have the management reconnected. So we have the question from Mr. Nikhil. You may please go ahead.
Should I repeat the question or?
Sorry, Nikhil, we have some technical glitches playing hide and seek with us today. Can you please repeat the question?
Yeah, sir. So my question, first question was that if we look at our two-wheeler mix in our total sales, while the industry has seen a degrowth, we've shown better numbers. So what has exactly played out for us? As a result, we've been able to grow while the industry has seen a degrowth.
Yeah, Nikhil. I think there are a couple of factors to that. The first is, and the most important is the new launches that have happened, especially with TVS. So there have been a couple of new launches, one in the scooter segment and one in the motorcycle segment. So that has helped. Similarly, the new models, which on the USB platform had given some initial numbers, which have again helped. And I think some of the customers where our presence is very strong, like say as an example, say Suzuki. I think their numbers have been better as compared to some of the other OEMs. So the combination of, I think, these two aspects, primarily on the new launches as well as I think some of our customers doing quite well, has helped us grow.
But in this number, the proportion of EV would still be very
Nikhil, we are not able to hear you. Can you please be louder?
Mr. Nikhil, we are unable to hear you, sir. Requesting you to please speak a bit louder. Your question is not audible. Nikhil, if you can hear us, your audio is not audible to us. You are in the question queue. May I please request
Hello?
You to speak?
Yeah, Nikhil.
My question was that is EV still a very small proportion for the two-wheeler sales, or has it started becoming meaningful for us?
Yes, as compared to the total sales, it is still a small number. Nikhil, it is, I think, month on month and quarter on quarter, this number is improving.
Okay.
So, yes, yeah.
Okay. Secondly, sir, like for last 2-3 years, if we look at the auto industry and auto ancillary industry has been working on, has been seeing a very limited volume growth. and volumes have been constantly under pressure, and we've been focusing on this cost 90 program where we've been focusing on reducing our cost structure. If you can just help me understand how our break-even points would have reduced now, say over the last 2-3 years from where we were to where we are today.
So, Nikhil, again, two components to break even. One is the fixed cost element and the other is the contribution. Now, given that there are now margin pressures because of commodity, the contribution, as you've seen in the results as well, has taken a bit of a hit. Having said that, under the Core 90 program, we have been able to significantly manage our fixed cost as well as the manpower cost optimization. So currently, you know, again, VP to NSP is in the range of 68 to 70 odd percent.
Sorry, sir, I couldn't get it. The last line which you mentioned.
The BEP to NSP as a percentage, earlier it used to be above 70%, now it's a little lower than 70.
Okay. And last question, sir. So in our previous calls, we had mentioned that we used to pitch for business with KYB, and we had lost Wagonr because KYB had lost the business for Vietnam and Indonesia, and as a result, we had to give up on it in India as well. But now, subsequently, like in last 6 months, if we see KYB has sold their stake in Gabriel, so is there any change in association or we still go with them for new business, or now we can independently go for businesses which we had lost earlier? How does the association change now?
So, in terms of the association with KYB, I think on a working level, nothing has changed. I think we continue to work together on the new platform, or rather the all the Maruti platforms that we have worked, we have won in the last few months where we are working on. They are all along with KYB.
Okay, fine. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants. If you wish to ask a question, please press star, then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Mayur L. from Profit Mart Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I just want to ask you, what is the outlook for the next quarter? How do you see the quarter four now? Can you share your thoughts? Because of the voice glitch, I am not hear some updates from your side. Thank you, sir.
So, Mayur, as far as the next quarter, since we don't issue forward-looking guidances, we would not be able to share information on that side. But in terms of the demand, I think Atul can give you a brief synopsis on how he's seeing all the three segments.
Yeah, so I think as I mentioned earlier, I think in terms of both the commercial vehicles and the passenger vehicles, the demand is quite positive. Yes, two-wheeler, we are all seeing the numbers that are there, the market numbers. We have all, I think, been seeing a significant degrowth there. But the new models both with the on the IC side as well as the
members of the management, we are unable to hear you. Sir, can you please confirm if you can hear me? Members of the management, we are unable to hear you. Can you please confirm if you can hear us? Ladies and gentlemen, as there's no response from the management's line, we will be reconnecting the management, requesting you all to please stay online. Thank you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for patiently holding the line. We have the management reconnected. So we have the question from Mr. Mayur L from Profit Mart Securities. You may please go ahead.
Mayur, sorry about this happening again and again. So you were mentioning about the demand forecast. Could you hear the answer from Atul or should we repeat?
I'm not able to get that answer.
Okay. So Mayur, in terms of the demand forecast, I think as I mentioned a little earlier also, in terms of the commercial vehicles and the passenger vehicles, we are seeing a very positive demand forecast coming from the customers. In terms of the two-wheelers, there is a challenge in the current market situation. But as far as Gabriel is concerned, I think the new models that have been launched recently, along with the EV ramp-up that is happening, will be very helpful for us.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one. The next question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayanan from ICICI Prudential AMC. Please go ahead.
thank you. Am I audible?
Yes,
sir, you are.
Two questions. First is I see that in the presentation you're working with VAPCO. There is a new logo which you have actually won. Can you just help me understand what exactly we are doing there? And VAPCO is a preeminent player in braking system and suspension for commercial, and there is also a reorganization with ZF, right? How this relationship can actually help us to grow even faster, further? I just want to understand that part.
Let me answer the question. Which slide are you referring for the VAPCO logo?
Something on client wins in commercial vehicles. You have mentioned that for the suspension program, you are actually working with them. Slide number 18.
Okay, this is on the dampers for their air suspension. Okay, these are the dampers that we will be supplying for their air suspension.
Okay, is this a new account to you altogether, or this is an ongoing business for you?
So in terms of dampers for the air suspension, yes, it is an ongoing business. We work with multiple OEMs or tier ones on that. In terms of working with VAPCO, it is a new development.
And how large can this become? Can this become like a significant large thing for us?
No, Lakshmi, this is, large is again relative, but it would be a critical customer for us. In terms of volume, we don't anticipate it to be in the top 10.
Got it. Another question is that are there any we are part of a large conglomerate. Are there any other conflicting product which is there in the parent organization with either in the commercial vehicle or in passenger vehicle for us?
As you would be aware that in the parent entity or in the group, almost all of the organizations are JVs, and the products that they produce under the JV legal entities, they don't have any conflicts with Gabriel.
Got it. So all the products, be it passenger car or commercial vehicle or two-wheelers, all the suspension-related products, trucks, everything is manufactured only in Gabriel India.
Yeah, so they are with Gabriel India. I think the only in the passenger car segment, as you know that we have at Anand Group, we have a JV with Mando, which is, I think, for Mando, there's one product line is the shock absorber, primarily with their primary customer being Hyundai and Kia.
So which means that for Hyundai and Kia, we will not be supplying from this entity. Is that the right assumption?
Yes, that would be true. However, we are a supplier to Mando for their piston rods. So that
sorry?
We are a supplier to Mando. There we act as a tier 2. We supply piston rods to Mando.
So sorry, sir, I can't hear you. You said you supply to Mando, but then your voice was a little muffled. Can you just repeat it, sir?
I think we work with Mando. We supply piston rods for their shock absorbers and struts to Mando for some application.
Got it. Another question is that if I just look at your slide number 26, where you actually put the strategic manufacturing footprint, right? So I see that also looking at your balance sheet over the last 5 or 6 years, there is no major incremental capital expansion that has actually come in, right? So my question is that is the quality of the business is that it doesn't require a lot of capex, or you are actually running at a low utilization? How do I read it?
So I think the earlier statement that you made may not be completely right because if you remember, I think just a couple of years back, we have actually set up or expanded significantly the new facility in Sanand, which is a completely integrated plant to supply to...
Sorry, sir, I couldn't get it. Sir, can you just repeat the last two lines, please?
Yeah, so I said the first statement that you made about significant capex may not be completely true, as if you remember that we have recently set up a new facility in Sanand just at the time when the COVID came to supply front forks to Honda motorcycles and scooters for their factories. So it was a significant investment that we have done in Sanand.
And to take your question on the capex side, we've been sharing this in the past calls as well, that as and when a program comes, it may require certain specific operation for which we may augment our capacity. It may require a full line of assembly, which also we go and implement. On an average, we have been doing, in the past, we were doing in the range of 50 to 60 odd crores of capex in the past 1 year, and also we've been sharing. This year, we are, proposing a capex in the range of 110 odd crores. So those all are in the nature of augmenting the capacity owing to the new businesses that we have won. On the capacity utilization, we remain consistent with what we have. Again, it's a little difficult to answer the overall capacity utilization given that we have to go by line and the operations into it, and also take into consideration the supply chain solution that we have around that. But with that, we've roughly maintained a fixed asset coverage ratio of 4.5, and that's what we also look at as a hurdle rate internally when we approve capex.
Is this a fixed asset turnover or something like 4.5? That's what you said, sir?
Yes.
And you're saying that your average of 50 crore capex, you're bumping it up twice to 100 crore. So can you just elaborate on what reminds the specific thing which you are doing it? Because this has been, if you look at it, it will be the largest capex program in the last 5 years since we are doing something like 100 crore plus.
So they are, and this also we've shared in the past calls, they are in the nature of import localization, number one. Number two, they are in the nature of increasing our capacity at our Khandsa facility. It is also in the nature of the new programs that we have won, for example, Ola. We have also been spending on the research and development side, and we have our new tech center now fully operational. So, and then we also are spending on automation and digitization
in a larger way than we otherwise were doing. So those form a part of the delta that you just mentioned.
And this year, FY22, what will be the total capex you will do? And FY23?
We would continue with the number I just mentioned in that range itself.
So around 50 this year and 23 will be 100. Is that a...
We would be in the range of 100 this year and the same number for next year.
Got it. So one last question, if I just look at your working capital cycle, right? So we generated a significant amount of cash flows last year that was done by increase in payables, right? And we are able to maintain a strong working capital discipline even in the last 9 months. So how should one read about it? Is there been a, whether this characteristic of having a lower work, I mean, better working capital cycle will continue, or last year was one off where the payables were very high, our receivables were very low, and therefore we could generate higher cash flow from operations?
Well, that's a good question. We have been very, very sensitive and very aware about the need of cash, both in times of pandemic and thereafter, given our growth aspirations. So we have been having a very hawk eye on all of these under the Core 90 program. Currently, we have closed the quarter with the 16 odd days of working capital, which has been fairly consistent this year. Yes, in the previous year of pandemic, because of lower volume and with better realizations of the debtors and inventory, we were able to release a lot of working capital, again largely owing to lower volumes. This year, we would like to maintain the current levels, if not better than.
What is the program you talked about? Some 90 program. Can you just repeat it?
It's a program that we have been running for now almost 3 years. The program name is Core 90. Core, CO stands for cost and RE stands for reduction. So we began this program as an outcome of being sensitive towards the profitability. And with the success of this program, we launched the second year, and in this year as well, we have continued it. And this has now become a part of our operational strategy as well. And year on year, we would wish to continue this to bring in the efficiencies on various cost parameters, which you can see on the P&L, as well as things like working capital on the balance sheet side.
Thank you, sir. Very commendable. Thank you so much. I'll get back in queue.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you have a question, please press star then one. The next question is from the line of Dheeral from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks, and thanks for the opportunity. So wanted to know, so what is the current revenue contribution from the EV side, and what is the content per vehicle in the EV segment as compared to ICE?
So the current revenue from the EV is not very high. It is around, it has sort of improved to 1% now. I think the good thing is that, as I mentioned earlier, month on month and quarter on quarter, this is improving. As the EV manufacturers are ramping up, this number is.
And so is the content per vehicle remain same?
Mostly yes, but again it purely depends upon the kind of technology that that is being used in different models. So as an example, say a Ola would use a different kind of a technology than an Ampere or an Ather. So the content per vehicle depends upon the technology used.
Okay. And sir, as you said in your opening commentary that we are going to pass on the RM inflation in Q4 in current quarter. So are we able to fully pass on the RM inflation till date? And this will help to recoup our margins to maybe 9 to 10%, which we used to do earlier?
Well, the way it works is different customers have different index mechanisms and different settlement cycles. All of our OEMs, we have an indexation clause and a settlement cycle. What we mentioned on account of quarter four was largely owing to timing differences, where in some cases we may have set the vendor, but the recovery from the customer will come in quarter four. There may be some differences owing to the mathematical calculation of different indexes. Some volumes of different, because of different quarters, you may have a different multiplier. But by and large, we have been experiencing a very good case of recovery. And that is also reflected in the margins that we have been fairly able to maintain. Even commodity.
So our margins again would remain at around 7%. Am I understanding correct?
Well, we have always endeavored to the double digits, and that pursuit continues. There is obviously a denominator impact. Even if we do 100% recovery of commodity, if you do the mathematics in this case, there would be at least a 2% impact of denominator. Coming to the margin. So we'll have to see where the commodity cycle plays out. If it if it remains the way it is currently, this would be the start point for us to improve.
Okay. And so as you said, capex for FY22 FY23 would be around 100 crore range each. So how much this would be utilized for the capacity expansion and how much would be for the optimization?
So in terms of the capacity utilization, it would be around 30 to 35%, and primarily for the new programs, and balance, as Rishi earlier mentioned, I think is more on the automation, digitization, quality improvement, and import localization. So the balance would be distributed between these four heads.
And so what is the current capacity utilization across the plant?
So I think very difficult to answer, because all plants, there are multiple lines in each plant. So normally looking at the current volumes, we may be around in the range of 70%. But again, line to line, it may vary, and location to location also.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Viraj from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for good set of numbers in such a challenging environment. I just have three broader questions. First is on the export part. You know, a quarter or two back, we kind of also talked about us engaging in RFQs for global players in the PV segment. So any kind of color you can give, you know, at what stage we are in, you know, and any update on the overall export business pipeline?
In terms of the overall exports, yes, on the CV side, I think, as you would remember, that I think we started with DAF, so that got expanded to the newer models there. So we are already, now we have started for a couple of other models for DAF, and also some small exports to DAF in Brazil. Yes, on the CV side, these numbers have improved. In terms of PV, we started working with Volkswagen for the Russia business, and in Europe, we have been sort of working on a very important RFQ, a little larger RFQ there, but it has still not been finalized. So we are in negotiation on that particular business.
Okay, got it. A related question is, you know, also, you know, we were waiting for clarity on the PLI scheme, and since that is out, how should we understand our play, you know, in respect to that? Because we have a sizable cash on the balance sheet, and us and the group as a whole also is a quite a significant player in the automotive space. So just want to understand what role Gabriel India will play, if at all any, with the PLI scheme and the landscape.
So, Viraj, our product is not within the basket of the scheme currently. Having said that, as Anand Group, we have gone ahead because there are different entities and the 250 crore turnover capex requirement, that's a sizable one. So we've done an application at a group level for the various entities within that, of which Gabriel is also a part of it. Right now, you know, we are just working out what can be done with that. Having said that, it's a little too premature for us to see or to take into consideration what the benefit arising out of that would be. So that as of now, we are waiting for it to be awarded, and thereafter we would be able to share some more light on it.
Okay, so sorry, what I really meant is I understand the product category per se is not really eligible under PLI, but given the kind of surplus balance sheet position we have, you know, significant cash position, is there any thought process at the parent level in terms of further adding new product categories or, you know, because it also helps in terms of utilizing the cash to new growth opportunities. So just trying to understand, you know, would it purely, we will continue to be focused on the current product category and, you know, or there's a thought process, you know, adding and capitalizing on new growth categories as well.
So Viraj, you know, this is something that it's a very valid question, and we have been watchful and aware of the cash balances and its utilization. So two aspects to that. One is what is required for our organic growth, which obviously, as you are saying, that we are investing into the future technologies, we are investing into future capabilities, we are also investing into optimization, whether it is import localization or automation. So that's one part which obviously will require some amount of money which is coming out of this cash pool. Second is the inorganic piece that we have been pursuing it, and that would essentially also require a contribution from our side. And to that extent, we would like to retain the cash balance for it. To get your answer on the product category, we are open to look at various product categories in the mobility space. But we have to be mindful of it not being a conflict product with the other group companies.
Okay. Just last question. You know, in the presentation for, you know, we have a slide on EV, and, you know, you kind of highlighted the clients we cater to. So majority of these clients, will we be a single source supplier, or, I mean, how does our competitive position kind of is in EV currently? I know it's still quite nascent and early days, but compared to ICE, where we kind of cater to a few players, in EV, for all these players, are we the single source supplier, or how does the competitive position differ here?
So, Viraj, as of now, with most of the EV players, we are a single source.
Okay, fine. Got it. Thank you and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shashank Kanodia from Kotak Securities. Before that, I would like to remind all participants, if you have a question, please press star then one. Over to you.
Hello.
Hello.
Am
I audible?
Yes, sir, you may go ahead.
Yeah, sir, I want to get a clarity on the tax rate. For the last two quarters, it's been coming in the range of 30-odd%. So is it a new normal for us, or what should the tax rate we should work with going forward?
25%, Shashank.
Okay. So for the last two quarters, was there any exceptional charge? And why was that high?
Also, we have to be mindful of the budget on the education, higher education says, not being allowed as an expenditure. So that is something that we would be taking into account in Q4.
Okay. And secondly, sir, you know, if you can share some kind of what the volume ramp up happening in Ola Electric, because we were given to understand through media articles that the production ramp up has been quite slow. So what are the kind of schedules that are we working with, any percent target for this quarter?
Shashank, I may not be able to share the schedules with them, but I can only share that, yes, month on month, the numbers are better than the previous month, and I think the ramp up is happening. So what are the exact numbers, I may not be able to share because of the confidentiality agreement with them.
And then lastly, in terms of Q4, so how is this quarter shaping up vis-a-vis last quarter, since we are almost halfway through? So it's kind of improvement is something that we are witnessing quarter-on-quarter basis?
I think in terms of the numbers, in terms of the top line, yes, we are anticipating a good quarter. So.
Okay, okay. Thank you, sir. That's all. Thank you.
It also depends upon how the two-wheeler sort of goes into February and March. But as I said, that fortunately the new models and the EV part is supporting us. But so we are anticipating a good quarter.
Sure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. So next question is from the line of Pankaj Bobde, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for taking my question. Am I audible?
Yes, very.
Well, sir, I have been invested in this company for almost 5 odd years, but I am a bit skeptical about the growth path which we are taking. We have been more or less a single product company in a single segment, but we have not seen, unlike other peers of us who have been growing leaps and bounds across the segments and product segments and just wanted to understand what is our growth path going forward, given that EV is still an infancy industry and which offers us lots of opportunities. We have been trying for inorganic acquisition, but it has not has happened for last 2 to 3 years, if I'm not wrong, despite us being a cash rich company.
Yeah. So, I think in terms of, you mentioned about the segments, so just a little maybe correction there. I think we are one company which is nicely spread across all the segments, although I think we are into a single product, but unlike most of the competitors who work in the shock absorber domain, we are quite nicely spread across two-wheeler, passenger car, commercial vehicle, railways, and obviously, because with the Gabriel brand, a good aftermarket also. So I think that is something which is a strength. In terms of the growth, yes, I think we have very clearly specified in our vision that we would like to be one of the top 5 global shock absorber manufacturers, and all the actions in terms of technology, in terms of our pursuit of business, in terms of improvement, share of business, investments, they are all in line with the same. In terms of inorganic growth, yes, you are right. I think Rishi just mentioned it minutes back also. Yes, I think we have been working on it for quite some time. We have been looking at a good a product where we can build some synergy and we can also add value. So we would not like to jump into something just for the sake of doing it. Wherever we can add value and we can build some synergy, definitely we are exploring a few opportunities, and I'm very sure that in the near future something will materialize.
So what I meant to say is that we are slightly lacking in our aggression. Our peers have grown multifold over last 5 to 7 years. Though we are present across the segments, only two-wheeler or three-wheeler and PVs is what is working for us. CVs as a cycle is not working, so I cannot blame you for that. Railways, it depends on government. And the last, I suppose, the construction equipment, that too has not been doing well. So what I wanted to put forward is, when can we see aggression from the management? I understand we are one of the many companies the management holds, but as a listed entity, as a I would request you to to look into putting more aggression so that we grow going forward.
So the point is taken and noted. And thank you for the feedback.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayanan from ICICI Prudential Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Two more questions. Sir, if I just look at your other expenses schedule, there is a legal and professional fees of around 39-40 crores, which has been recurring over the last couple of years, right? Now, expense or its variable, I mean, should it be look at as a quasi-employee expense? I mean, how do we think about it? Because it is quite large for the size of a company, right? Can you just throw some light on that?
No, Lakshman, I'll take that question. So the first aspect was whether it is variable in nature. Yes, it's largely variable in nature, almost to the extent of 95%. What is a part of that is the management fee that Gabriel is paying to its parent on various accounts. One is the use of brand. The other is the support that we receive on marketing side, on technology side, on HR side, on finance, legal, compliance, as well as a host and bouquet of services that we take from them. So to that extent, we have a fee arrangement with them, which forms a part of the legal and professional fee.
So Lakshmi Narayanan, does that answer your question?
Yeah. Just a follow-up on that. So we pay to the parent, most of it.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but your audio is not audible.
Is it better now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so you need to say that it is variable and most of it is to the parent, right?
That's right, yes.
Okay. So my other question is that, you know, if I just look at your EBITDA profile over the last couple of years, there has been a, you know, we are operating at like 9.5% plus or 9% plus, right? It has come to something like lower because, driven by various factors. So what is the band you aspire to operate in, not now, but maybe 3 years or 5 years out, right? Is there a particular band you like to operate, like you have a core program you talked about? What is the EBITDA margin you target?
Look, man, we have been pursuing double digits, and that pursuit continues. Yes, there are market conditions. Yes, there are external conditions, and there are things like pandemic that has come in between. But the pursuit still continues towards the double digit.
Got it. So one last question with respect to your market share. You know, of course, there have been some segments like some other things like what you cannot supply to Hyundai or Kia, or similarly you don't supply to Hero, right? So if I just exclude that in the market you operate in, which is where there is no captive involved or a specific JV involved, what is your market share? Because the market share which you give 25% in two-wheelers or maybe 23% in passenger car is like including everything under the denominator, right? So if I just carve out a Hyundai, Kia, if I carve out Hero, what is the market share and how large is the second person in those things and excluding the jobs out of the world, right? Can you just elaborate on that?
Yeah, so in terms of two-wheelers, so obviously Hero, give and take, although I think the numbers are fluctuating, but give and take 30-35% they own the share. So where we are currently operating is 65% of the market. So yes, considering that, if you extrapolate that, this number would go up to maybe around what 37-38%, 40% in two wheeler. But while
we are saying so. There's, I think, there's no challenge in terms of the sort of the parent or the joint venture, like in case of passenger car, where we can't operate there. Okay, we can always we continue to try to work with that customer also. In terms of yes, in terms of the passenger car, again it is just a mathematics. So Kia and Hyundai would be or 30-odd%. Yes, so 30-odd% goes, so 23% of 100. So again, mathematically is around 35%. The positive here in case of passenger car is that this number will grow because of the business pipeline that is there, which we have already shared in the past. The I think three Maruti models and one Toyota model. So there are four significant models in which are under development. So this number anyway is going to grow. This 23 will grow.
Got it. And who is the number two in our space? Like if I just take the 70% of the denominator, right? So we are 35. What is the next person there in the market share wise?
So in terms of passenger car, the competitor is Tenneco there. So and mm-hmm. They are larger than us currently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And in terms of the two-wheeler, in terms of three-wheeler, I think we continue to be the number one with a very high market share. And in terms of two-wheeler, the competitor, again, I think there are multiple players in two-wheeler, as you all know. So I think Gabriel, Endurance, Munjal. So these are the three large players, and then there are other Japanese players who are also there.
Thank you so much, sir. This is very helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management for their closing comments. Over to you.
I take this opportunity to thank everybody for joining the call. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with us or SGA, our investor relations advisors. Thank you. Stay safe. Stay healthy.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Gabriel India Limited, we conclude today's conference. Thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.